Welcome to News Talk, and this is D.G. Martin. What is happening in college athletic conferences? Maryland is leaving the ACC. Louisville and Notre Dame are coming in. Well, sort of. What about Virginia Tech, Florida State, Georgia Tech? Should we have even let them in if they're just jumping from one pond to another? It's happening all over. And Tom Drew and Art Chansky are insiders, and they'll give us the inside story on the rush to jump from one conference to another and what it means for college sports. Art Chansky, welcome.
Thank you. It's always great to be with you, DG.
Tom Drew, welcome to you too, buddy.
Hey, thanks, DG.
Tom,
I did such a good job on predicting the election. I'm sure I'll be a better expert.
We've all forgotten about that. We're cashing in on your expertise and interest in college sports.
Good.
And everybody knows Art Chansky, but we don't get to hear enough of him. We just get these three-minute.
Two-minute
commentaries.
Mm-hmm.
Where
it's
you,
great, though.
But
mm-hmm.
they really are great. They're mm-hmm. really terrific. I hope nobody else is listening to them because they're going to put him on national.
40 years ago, didn't it, Art?
That's right. I got $5 a commentary 40 years ago from Jim Hebner.
Yeah. And now you're doing it for less.
Right, exactly.
Well, let's talk about the conferences. The latest was all of a sudden Maryland, who was a founding member of the ACC, leaves. And, you know, that's shocking enough for me because I remember when the ACC was formed by the departure from the Southern Conference because Davidson was in the Southern Conference and we used to get to play Carolina and all these teams. And then these seven or eight teams left the Southern Conference and Maryland was one of them. And now a founding member leaves the conference. It just raises again the question, what is happening?
Well, in Maryland's case, and Tom said it so well off the air before we came on, it is really all about money, but it's more detailed than that, because besides being all about money, you have to ask the global question, where is all this going? I have an opinion of where it's all going, and it is all based on money, but to get to where you need to go, there's going to be more of this. In Maryland's case specifically, DG, is that the president, Kevin Anderson, the athletic director, they're not Maryland guys. They don't give a toot about the fact that Maryland was a conference founding member. What they care about is their athletic department is on the verge of bankruptcy, and they've had to drop seven sports. And Gary Williams and a lot of other coaches at Maryland have always sort of poo-pooed the ACC, feeling like they're stepchildren of the ACC if you're not in North Carolina. So when it came down to money and do we cut more sports, and then Big Ten comes along with a projected payout, DG, in 2017 of $43 million annually per school. They come along with that offer. Right at this point, even with a renegotiated ACC contract to include Notre Dame, the highest projection for the ACC in 2017 is $24 million annually per school. So that's $20 million.
So $20 million extra a year that could put in a few more sports.
It could basically save Maryland athletics. It's a no-brainer.
Let's go to 30,000 feet, which from what Art's saying, DG. Basically, the future is going to be four conferences with 16 teams in each of them. That's 64 teams. Right now, those 64 teams are going to come out of six conferences that have about 14 in each conference and 76 teams. So the real issue here is, who's not going to make it if there are only going to be four conferences?
So like the musical chairs.
Big Ten thing is not an anomaly. The Pac-12, we work for University of Utah, the Pac-12 payouts are going to be $30 million a year. The Southeast Conference payouts are going to be over $30 million a year. And the ACC can't get to $25 million a year.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, in the musical chairs of who are going to be the four super conferences, Big East and ACC may be getting cherry-picked to that.
Right, and let me one-up you on that, Tom, because I believe you're right where it's going, but I believe it's going to four conferences of 18 teams each before it's all over. Because when you look at it, and whether it's 16 or 18, there's not enough schools, legitimate BCS schools to do this. There's going to have to be some interesting decisions made. But here's what I think. I think it's going to four leagues of 18 teams. The Pac-12 12 will be the Pac-18. The SEC will have 18 teams in it. The Big Ten will have 18 teams in it. And then to get the 18 in the Pac-10 and the SEC and the Big Ten, you're going to cherry pick the ACC and the Big 12 to death. So there's only going to be one league left. That's, to me, I guess it's going to be an amalgam of who's left in the ACC and the Big 12. And let me take it one step further. What I think is going to happen in that case is, because everybody loves the NFL model, it makes the most money, it creates the most drama. I believe that when it's all said and done, 18 teams in each league, 3 6-team divisions, and a playoff within a league that involves the 3 divisional winners and 1 wild card team that has the best record of all the non-divisional winners. And so each league has a semifinal game going to a championship game, and the champion of each of those major conferences, they're going to square off in this Final Four playoff that we're going to start in 2014. That's where I think it's all going. I don't know how long it'll take to get there, but when you start putting the names of the schools down and who's moving where, it's a really interesting kind of Rubik's Cube to go through.
You agree with that, Tom?
Yeah, and it could be shocking, did you? Let me tell you, building what he said. You got to realize the Mountain West last year, the Mountain West, New Mexico and Utah was in it, and Colorado State, they paid out $2 million a year to their member teams. $2 million. You're talking about $30 million versus $2 million. Several years ago, we worked with Tulane University. Tulane was bleeding $7 million a year in athletics and had been to the Liberty Bowl 2 out of 3 years. The haves and have-nots are going to be vast. It's going to be, as Art's almost saying, that there are 64 to 80 colleges in big-time athletics, and the rest are in very small-time athletics. There will be no middle class.
Let's go back to the building blocks of this discussion, and that is Maryland's departure. And you guys explained that they needed the money. But what does Maryland give to the Big Ten in terms of making the other Big Ten teams be willing to give up some of their funds? And Maryland hadn't been, at least on the field, hadn't been the greatest performer in the world.
Great question. And let me tell you what exactly it is. You know, when you turn on an ACC game and you turn on an SEC game and it says the ACC network and it says the SEC network, well, that's what these leagues are just doing with cable contracts with ESPN and over-the-air contracts with CBS to sort of take the sting away from the real only subscription-based network, which is the Big Ten network. And the Big Ten Network, when about 8 years ago, when the ESPN wouldn't come to the table with the amount of money they wanted to, Jim Delaney, the commissioner, said, we're going to start our own network. And it was a huge gamble, but he got Fox as a partner, underwriting partner. And today, they are in every major cable provider in the country, from Comcast to Time Warner Cable to all the little podunk cable operators all over the country, because the Big Ten is 100 years old. It has the greatest tradition. It has alumni and fans all over the country. It's just one of these things, and I'm not sure any other league could do it because they couldn't get the concentration. What Maryland and Rutgers brings to the Big Ten are eyeballs, and doesn't really matter to Jim Delaney and the Big Ten how good they've been in the past. It matters that they are members of the AAU, the American Association of Universities, because that's a baseline for the Big Ten. But in the metro Washington D.C. Baltimore area, let's just use round figures, and in the metro New York New Jersey area where Rutgers is, just let's say that 10 million people take the Big Ten Network on their sports tier. They add it to their sports tier, and they have to pay $50.50 a month for the Big Ten Network a month. That's $6 a year. Okay, multiply that times 10 million people doing it, that's $60 million. That's where the Big Ten gets the money to pay for Maryland and Rutgers.
So the Big Ten network is not on the cable system now in the Washington metropolitan area?
It may be, but there's no incentive for the people there to take it. You know, there's alumni there, and I'm sure there's a few, but once the hometown teams are there, then you know, it's going to be a quantum leap. And so they get the extras and the fact that, you know, they have two schools that brings the Big Ten profile all the way over to the East Coast, to the ocean. And I know Tom's got a
comment. When Art says the word eyeballs, DG, he's talking about advertising.
Right. And cable subscribers.
And
the Big Ten also has contracts with ESPN and CBS. I mean, they I think it's just with ESPN now, but the Big Ten has the best of both worlds because they have a huge contract with ESPN, but then they have their own network, so they televise every game. You know, the Big Ten holds, you know, the Big Ten Network takes a few good games that they don't give to ESPN. ESPN, you know, gets most of the good ones. But every other game, plus non-revenue sports and academic specials about the Big Ten schools, I mean, it was the most brilliant thing that anybody's ever done in college athletics. And Delaney did it. He gambled. He got the backing. And, you know, and the fact that Maryland and Rutgers are coming in, it enhances their programs. Because let me give you one thing that came out of it that that they didn't even realize. 2 or 3 years into the Big Ten Network, all the schools in the ACC, the athletic directors, were fielding complaints from their Olympic sports coaches. Hey, I can't recruit against the Big Ten, you know, because every one of their game, every one of their tennis matches, every one of their lacrosse matches, they're on TV. They can recruit to the Big Ten schools by saying, you know, 16 or your games are going to be in the Big Ten Network, which is a nationwide network. How do you compete against that? So that was like a secondary gain that I'm not even sure the Big Ten realized it was getting. But it's things like that all over it that have set the Big Ten apart from everybody else. And Tom, you can jump in here with that, but after you do, I think there was one move that happened that may have triggered this whole thing. And
Let's take a break. We're going to need to take a break, and we'll find out the one move that made all this happen.
Right.
Thank you. We're visiting with Art Jansky and Tom Drew. We're talking about the league realignment, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to Who's Talking. This is D.G. Martin. We're visiting with Art Jansky and Tom Drew. We're talking about the this incredibly complex and difficult to understand rush to join one conference, get out of your current conference. And Art, thanks for this, and you too, Tom, for helping shed a little bit of light on this. I'm not sure I can stand much more light, but Art, before the break, you said you could tell us what got this whole thing started.
My theory is that what happened was, and I don't, believe me, I want to make this clear. No one has told me this. I've just read a lot about it and picked up a lot of vibes. But I believe that the major conferences got together and made a handshake deal that none of them was going to take Notre Dame unless Notre Dame agreed to come in for football. And we know the Big Ten for years has said to Notre Dame, hey, we'll take you, but you got to come in for football. And, you know, Notre Dame has its own home game contract with NBC, which
they were the first.
Yeah, they were, and it's going to be worth much more now that the ratings have gone up 84% this year because of Notre Dame's season. Mm-hmm. So I think there was an agreement between all the leagues that no one was going to take Notre Dame unless they came in for football. So what happened? The ACC took Notre Dame. And not only did they take Notre Dame, they Notre Dame announced that now they're going to play five ACC members a year as part of their schedule. So what does that do? I think the Notre Dame-Michigan game is safe. But the Notre Dame-Michigan State game, they've already said that that series is ending. Notre Dame-Purdue is probably ending. Every other school, the dreams of inviting Notre Dame or playing a home-and-home series with Notre Dame, they don't have much of a chance now because, you know, in this conference situation with Notre Dame playing five ACC schools, there's traditional powers that they have to play, like Southern Cal and Navy, you know, and the five ACC schools. So I think it really burned a lot of the athletic directors. And they said, okay, the ADs and conference commissioners, and they said, okay, now we're going to do what's best for our league.
School's out.
Yeah, we're going to do. You agree with that, Tom?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And because I think they saw it as, kind of a small thing that the ACC did, because the way the ACC got it done, Art, was because those five teams are going to be on the Notre Dame network, they are going to get to share in an incremental part of the Notre Dame money.
Mm-hmm.
And so the big conferences are saying, you guys, you took a small amount of money for a big, big move, and we're not happy about that.
Right.
And then one other thing I'd like to build on that Art said earlier, DG, and this is really important to your listeners. This is not a world of Willis Casey and Bill Friday and Terry Sanford and Tom Butters and Bob Poole down at Clemson. You know, this is a world of mercenaries who are presidents and ADs. You know, they are professionals, but they don't come in with all the warm, fuzzy feeling about the old rivalries and remembering Lefty and remembering Coach Smith. You know, that's gone. They look at their bottom line, and their bottom line is bleeding money, you know? Maryland, right after they announced, said that they were probably going to restore five of the seven sports they cut because of the new Big Ten deal.
That's right. It's about, you know, it's like, you know, it's a macho kind of thing. It's like the commissioners say to, you know, everybody, all the macho guys say, you know, mine is bigger than yours or whatever. But, you know, the commissioners say, hey, my distribution is $30 million. What's your distribution? You know, that kind of thing. And the Big Ten is way above now because they not only have the ESPN contract, but they have this Big Ten network that is just a money machine.
Let me ask you guys to change focus just for a moment. The best football conference in the country is right now is not the Big Ten, but it's the SEC.
Oh, by far.
And why isn't the SEC the dominator in terms of what it can offer and where its fans are?
Well, the funny part about that is that what Delaney did by calling ESPN's bluff, Delaney should get a bonus check from all the other leagues, too, because ESPN vowed after that they were never going to let another league start their own cable network. They were going to pay what they had to pay in rights fees. And the first one up was the SEC. And, you know, you remember a few years ago, there was an announcement they signed this mega, mega million-dollar contract with ESPN to have their games, football and basketball. And their TV contract is not worth as much as the Big Ten when you add in the cable subscriptions, but it's enough that the SEC is distributing. You know, probably they'll probably be close to $40 million by 2017, right, especially if all of this, you know, all of this expansion moves to 18 teams. Because all of that does is creates renegotiation with television contracts every time it happens. Just like the ACC is going to sit down with Notre Dame and hope they're going to get enough to raise every ACC school's distribution $1 million a year.
Well, then,
yeah, because I mean, when the gap between ACC schools gets to be $5, $7, $8 million a year, DG, how do you turn to Florida State and Clemson or Georgia Tech or NC State or Duke or Carolina and say, "Hey, come on, guys, we're all friends here"?
Well, which Tom, you asked you raised the question I wanted to raise with you, and that is, which of the ACC schools have something to deliver either to the Big Ten or the SEC in order to get their payouts, and which ones would be the first to take a look at that? Which one?
Well,
which one?
I'll lob a pitch right over the plate so Art can hit it out.
Mm-hmm.
Duke's only chance to survive at this level in college athletics is to ride Carolina's coattails into the Big Ten. Because we've got Delaney up there, and because they want Carolina, they also want Duke Carolina. And that's the only way right now, under this current condition. Because Duke football, bowl bound, yay, that's great. But nobody, not SEC or Big Ten, are going to come to Duke independently and say, "Wow, boy, we'd really like for you to be part of us." I think it is the Duke-Carolina rivalry and package that is the only way Duke plays at that level.
There's no question about the Duke-Carolina hyphenated rivalry is more valuable to each school than each individual brand. And I agree with Tom. I don't know how they get there. You know, the Big Ten is now at 14 with Maryland and Rutgers. There's word that they're after Virginia, which makes some sense because they can deliver the state of Virginia TV market. And they're after Georgia Tech, which is a national...
But not Virginia Tech.
Not Virginia Tech. Georgia Tech, because Georgia Tech's a national brand with the Atlanta market. Virginia Tech, supposedly, right... is one of those schools that's talking to the SEC. And, you know, as we get into this thing, I mean, you know, Tommy may have a different opinion.
I'll tell you what, let's take a break and then come back and talk about some of the particular
how it's going to wash
scenarios
out.
That might come about. We're visiting with Art Chansky and Tom Drew. We're talking about conference realignment, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to Who's Talking. This is D.G. Martin. My guests are Tom Drew and Art Chansky, both of whom follow college athletics and are giving us incredible sorted list of things to think about as we're taking a look at the possibilities in terms of what's going to happen next with the conferences. And all of a sudden, I had to stop and take a breath. Tom Drew suggests, and Art Chansky sort of nods his head, that Carolina and Duke might be the most likely jumpers out of the SEC because they could make a lot of money going together. They'd have to hold hands to do this. Is that am I going too far with that?
Well, yeah, for them to leave the ACC, you know, that's the death knell for the ACC as we know it now, if Duke and Carolina leave. So they would have to have a reason. To me, and Tommy, you tell me if you, the league has to be falling apart for them to do it, because they're going to be valuable commodities no matter what the situation is. Now, the one thing that Duke and Carolina can't do, and that's what Kevin White, I was glad to see that Kevin re-upped for through 2019, Tom, was it?
You know, right, 2019.
Because they're going to need Kevin White all those years to figure, you know.
Who's Kevin White?
He's the AD at Duke. He used to be the AD at Notre Dame. And they're going to need Kevin in place for all those years. And Bubba Cunningham is this very smart guy, and he's got to be here, you know, you can't make a mistake with this next move. You make a mistake, and it could be catastrophic.
Is it the athletic director's call at Duke and Carolina?
Well, it is. When they decide if they're going to take you know, they got to go to the president, of course. But if they say, you know, our best move at this point is going to the Big Ten or going somewhere else, because this is what we think is going to play out within the next 3 years, and we're going to be on an island here, and we're not going to be getting much TV money because we're going to be left with an eight-team league, and we're going to have to fill in with the Memphises of the world and so forth. So you know, that's why people are jumping. So because they want to make sure that they're in the place. Now, Tom may disagree with this, but I think the Pac-12 right now has 12 teams: Stanford, Oregon, Oregon State, Washington, California, Washington State. That's what they call the Northern Division. The Southern Division is UCLA, USC, Arizona State, Arizona, Utah, and Colorado. And that's their 12. Because there were talks about Texas and Oklahoma going to the Pac-10, Pac-12 a couple of years ago, and the fact that Texas won't, even though Texas and Oklahoma hate each other, they're not going any. They're like Duke and Carolina. They're going wherever they go, they're going together.
Right.
And then Oklahoma State's going wherever Oklahoma goes.
Right.
So I believe when it's all said and done, the six teams that are getting out of the Big 12 conference are going to be Texas, Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, TCU, Baylor, and Texas Tech. I believe all of those teams are going west.
Right.
To the Pac.
Then the Big 12's over.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Well,
just patched together.
Yeah,
now.
We'll talk about it. Yeah, it's patched together. So they have 18 teams, the Pac 18, and they have the three divisions, and they have the two I just mentioned. And now you've got sort of the Texas Southwest Conference Big 12 division, which is Texas, Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, TCU, Baylor,
the old
Texas
Southwest Conference. Right.
So that's 18. You know, let's jump over to see who's leaving the ACC, because, you know, you've got to play from a position of strength. The SEC now has 13. They have Georgia, Florida, South Carolina, Vanderbilt, Missouri, and Kentucky in the Eastern Division, Auburn, Alabama, Arkansas, LSU, Ole Miss, and Mississippi State in the Western Division, and they just added Texas A&M. So they now at 13. They're at an uneven number. So my belief is that and Florida State and Clemson have been making noises about this. The big the SEC has already talked to Virginia Tech as a team that, you know, sort of fits. But I think when it's all done, Florida State, Clemson, Virginia Tech, and Miami leave the ACC to go to the South.
Which is Coast. Give those again?
Florida State, Clemson, Virginia Tech, and Miami.
And not Georgia Tech.
No, Georgia Tech's going. In my scenario, Georgia Tech's going to the Big Ten.
But DG, you got to understand now, these professional athletic directors are sitting at a table playing incredible liar's poker because they any minute have got to make a decision. Do I stay or do I go?
This is something in the next weeks, next month, next
year?
Well,
years? It could be.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's going to happen gradually.
And don't be surprised if Art's list is modified by NC State going to the Southeast Conference.
Right. Because I've got right now, if you take the schools that have had the most flirtation with the SEC, Florida State, Clemson, Virginia Tech, and Miami, that's only four, which leaves the SEC with 17. They need an 18th member, and I've penciled in South Florida here because South Florida has been in the Big East. They claim they want to build their big-time football. But Tom's right. There's a spot open there for NC State if they want to go to the Southeast and jump.
But North Carolina market into the SEC.
And then so that now you're talking about, like, you know, just sitting over there, and Debbie, I was saying, my goodness, I mean, what does this do to the state Carolina rivalry? Well, in football, I think that always stays because they probably play that as
like Georgia and Georgia Tech.
Exactly, exactly. They play it as a non-conference game every year. But again, it's all about money. So let's say that scenario goes. But let's just say that.
Let me ask you this real quick before you move on about North Carolina State. Who makes the decision? Does Debbie Yao make the decision? Does Chancellor Randy Woods make the decision? Or does Tom Ross and the Board of Governors make the decision?
Well, I mean, all of the above. But, I don't think the Board of Governors can stop.
The Board of Governors is the least influential.
Yeah, they can't stop NC State if they want to go. So it's really Debbie with a recommendation to Woodson to an approval by their board of trustees, and they lay it out. They say this is what it is now. This is the peril we're facing. This is the money that we could make, and it's a new day in college athletics. And then anybody who's wants to live on the Tobacco Road robberies, is not going to be heard if the numbers are so staggering. So let's say that happens. So then what you're left with, so now the Big Ten has Maryland and Rutgers for their 13th and 14th teams. Let's say they take Virginia and Georgia Tech to get them to 16. All right, so they got two spots left. Now,
wait a minute, they got you think 18 then is
eight,
that's
I
your
think
model.
My model is 18.
It's got to be 16 teams at least, 18 teams.
But I think it's going to be 16 because it means the three divisions and you can have a semifinal playoff within your league and all that kind of stuff. So the Big Ten is sitting here looking at two additional spots. They've got 14. If they've got Maryland and Rutgers. If they take Virginia and Georgia Tech, they're at 16. They got two additional spots, and they would love to have Duke and Carolina. If they had Duke and Carolina, I mean, it would be over, in terms of
ACC.
Yeah, and ACC and the money that the Big Ten could make. And, I mean, because Duke Carolina, basketball, every Duke Carolina game has been on national TV since 1986. I mean, it is the only rivalry that matters anymore during the regular season of college basketball. So, and then there's another question is, does this, when this washes out, Tommy, and is this just a mega super league? They're still in the conference, but the money distribution, is that just for football? Do they still let the NCAA control the NCAA basketball tournament? So the billions that event, the big dance makes, that can be trickled down to all the schools in the NCAA, so it saves them.
You raise a real good point, Art, because there's going to be a lot of pressure to do basketball like they've done football.
Right. But, the thing about this is this is not a breakaway to the NCAA. For years, everybody thought that this super conference was going to break away from the NCAA. my sources tell me that that's never going to happen because of all the government pressure and intervening that happened with the BCS. They feel like if they break away from the NCAA and form their own league, they're going to lose their tax exempt status. They're going right. to lose. They're going to lose their nonprofit status.
Who's going to lose it?
The league. Schools.
The schools or
yeah.
the league?
No,
the
Let
school
me tell you
and
why,
the league.
Why that
wow.
won't happen
yeah,
to
yeah. Explain
and,
that.
And then when they if they lose all that and they're going to have to pay the players and their workman's compensation right. on, so they become professionals.
That's not going
to
happen. Once again, here's the reason.
Don't
let any of our listeners fool themselves. The difference between football revenues and basketball revenues right now are 10-1 football to basketball.
Mm-hmm.
10-1.
So basketball, although it's the main ingredient for those of us who live here in the Triangle, the Duke Carolina basketball rivalry is far and away more than the football rivalry.
Oh.
That's just an exception.
That's just here.
Oh yeah, very
yeah.
much so.
Yeah, when you talk about the distribution, I mean the ACC they take their money. It's earmarked as all the TV revenue is earmarked as 80% for football, 20% for basketball. But the ACC calls it 50-50 because they know basketball is so important. But Tom's right. I mean, there's so much money involved now. One of the backlashes of this is going to be, well, what's going to happen to all the schools that are not in this top 72? What's going to happen to them? I mean,
right.
they,
right.
how are they going to play?
They're not going to be a middle class.
Right.
They can't
afford
it.
They're going to have small TV networks, you know, in the Mountain West or whoever's left are going to have small TV networks, and there's going to be some rights fees and all that. And yeah, and there'll be some sports that'll be cut, and they'll say play them as club sports, and, you know, they'll have to go into fundraising and all that. But the big question is, if the NCAA still allows the big dance, the basketball tournament, to be handled and distributed the way it is now, then there is hope for the smaller teams that are outside of this football mega league, because there'll be millions flowing to all the schools in the NCAA like it exists right now. And I think that would be a fair compromise, because this is a football-driven thing. So the mega league. Keeps all the football money, or maybe they keep 90% of it. Maybe they give 10%. Who knows? When the negotiation goes,
that's right. But bones from the table,
right? It's interesting. So
what happens to this? Is just what happens to Notre Dame?
Well, interesting. Okay, so here we are. So I just said there's two spots left in the Big Ten. Let's say that they can't get, and I've been through all the schools and know, you know, what floats all the conferences' boats in terms of what they care about and all that. Let's just say the Big Ten can't get Duke and Carolina, and Duke and Carolina decides to stay in the amalgamated conference left over from the Big 12 and the ACC. And I'll get to that in a minute. But just let's say that they can't get Duke and Carolina, and the Big Ten needs two schools. I say, I know how the Big Ten operates. I know how the presidents are. I know how prestige is important in that conference. I say, Army, Navy. Go to the Big
Whoa.
Ten.
Whoa, no, come on.
That's what I say. Because
you've been talking to John Feinstein.
Look at the prestige that are in to have Army and Navy.
Yeah, but they don't have any. They're not competitive.
They don't need it.
They
don't need it. They're as competitive as Northwestern and all, you know, yeah. I mean, yeah, and everybody plays them anyway, you know. They play them, so it's one of those games. It's like Vanderbilt. It's like Wake Forest. So that's what I come up with. They want Duke and Carolina, but say they don't get it.
Let's take a break, and then I want to come back and talk about the consequences to the rest, to us, if this
right.
should happen.
That's going to be what's left of the Big Ten, of the Big 12 and the ACC. That'll be our next segment.
We're visiting with Art Chansky and Tom Drew about the conference realignment, and it's shocking. We'll talk some more after this short break. Welcome back to Who's Talking. This is D.G. Martin. I'm visiting with Tom Drew and Art Chansky. We're talking about the consequences, or the possible consequences, of the conference realignment. And if you're like me, you just kind of say, well, this is interesting stuff. But we've learned, if you join us late, we've learned that maybe one of the logical, likely events that takes place in all of this is that Carolina and Duke go to the Big Ten.
Yeah, if that's the
what happens to us? What are the what is life just going to be so much better for us, or is it just we've lost everything. It's kind of like being kicked out of the church.
Well, it's if it's their best option. And, you know, there's still non-conference games. They can still both play NC State once a year. And, you know, this has happened all over the place. I mean, Tommy, they're, remember the rivalries in the old Southwestern Conference and the Big 12?
Right.
That they played every year for 100 years. Well, you know, that doesn't happen. You know, Tennessee and Alabama used to play on the third Saturday in October, you know, for how many years? You know, for... You know, 75 years. Well, they don't play every year anymore. You know,
no, Clemson, South Carolina do play every year,
right.
But it's nowhere near the rivalry it was 30 years
right.
ago.
So let's look and say, let's say, for example, and as I look at this, I ask myself, well, why would Carolina want to stay and Duke want to stay? But just let's say,
Art, for anybody to join us late, what would be the money difference, just as it stands now, between ACC? Payoff for staying in the ACC versus what Carolina and Duke could expect to get from the Big Ten if they join the Big Ten?
Well, I mean, it's going to be bigger than what the projections
just
are.
Because the projections. $10 million plus a year.
The projections right now.
$10 million plus a year.
Are $43 million per school per year for the Big Ten, $24 million per school per year for the ACC. And that's 19. So, but again, the Big Ten number is going to go
$19 million a year now,
different.
And probably more.
Yeah,
probably.
If Duke and Carolina get into the Big Ten, then being and that's I know that's what you know, I don't know, but I'm assuming that's what the Big Ten dreamers are dreaming that they knock everybody out of the box in that point because they not only have the oldest football rivalry, the biggest stadiums, and all that, they have the only rivalry that matters anymore in basketball, and that's the Duke and Carolina. But just let's say Duke and Carolina don't go, and this is what they're facing. So it maybe
this is if they do not go,
and they're in what's left, and what's left would be what's left of the Big 12 because you remember the two Oklahoma schools and the four Texas schools have gone off to the Pac-12. Okay, and Clemson. Florida State, Clemson, and Virginia Tech and Miami have gone to the Southeastern Conference. Maryland and Virginia and Georgia Tech are going to go to the Big Ten if it plays out the way we think here. So what's left? You have what's left in the Big 12, which is Kansas State, Iowa State. That's all that's left. In the ACC, you have Duke, North Carolina, Wake Forest, NC State, BC, Syracuse, Pitt. Louisville's coming in. They would probably add Cincinnati, UConn. I would think West Virginia in the Big 12, they would stay. And then I would think Notre Dame would be in there. And at that point, if, you know, to have Notre Dame would be the only thing that they could really boast about, and they would keep Notre Dame under any circumstances. They would even keep them as a non-football member. But, you know, that's why you don't – and agree with this, Tommy. You know, you don't want to get into a situation where you're in the leftovers, right?
No.
Yeah, if you're in the leftovers, or if they do this, we do this, then, you know, what's going to happen to us? And that's why schools jump. Because they're looking 5 years down the road, and they don't want to be in a situation where they're in an amalgamated league.
You've kind of got what you're describing, Art, is a panic. There is it may be a controlled panic or at least a hidden panic,
yeah.
But that you're describing that in every athletic director's back of their mind, I can't let my school get left.
Exactly.
That's what I said. Those ADs are sitting at this table with musical chairs, Russian roulette, liar's poker, call it what you want to. But any second, they're going to be faced with, do I stay or do I go?
And, you know, John Swofford was sitting about a month ago, you know, feeling pretty good about things. You know, they had added Pitt and Syracuse. Yeah, they had taken Notre Dame as a non-football member. You know, they thought life was good. And then things started moving again. And, you know, the Big Ten started it. And now everybody's looking. Florida State, Clemson, they play in these huge stadiums. They play in SEC-type stadiums. They're SEC-type schools. They want SEC-type money. And the ACC has always been equal distribution. You know, other leagues don't do that. Texas gets more than the other Big 12.
All right, schools. You got to be scared to death. But let's talk longer-term future. Is all of this the way that football gets to be sustainable as a college football gets to be sustainable as a national enterprise, a national sport, or is this just one more step towards the collapse of the whole football system?
No, Tommy might have a different opinion on this, but I think this is to save the NCAA because, again, my belief is all this is going to be done within the NCAA that says now, okay, you know, we understand that we're in peril too. And you might all go take your balls and go and play 64 team league somewhere else, and you deal with the governmental problems and all that. But what do? We only have we have an NCAA basketball tournament that now is missing the top 64 schools, and their card that they hold is nonprofit tax exemption and not having and still the amateur status of the athlete. No matter what they if they tear up the record the rule book for this mega league and they write a new set of rules, it's still going to be amateur athletics. And if they pay the kids, it's not going to be much. It's going to be like the monthly stipend like they used to have for cost of living raise and all that kind of stuff. But I think the NCAA, it's going to remain. And what happens within it is going to define, you know, how your football future is individually. But as far as the money goes, it means more money for everyone. Because I believe that in this big league, the most of the money that's made by these schools is going to be kept by these schools. That's just right. Like the BCS is right now. The BCS is the only thing that exists in college athletics. It's outside of the NCAA. They make the money. They keep the money.
Y'all, I can't stand being scared anymore. And thank goodness the time is up. But this has been great with Art Chansky and Tom Drew talking about the consequences of the College League alignment. I appreciate both of them being here and appreciate your listening. This has been D.G. Martin, who's talking, and I'll be back here before you know it.